Hey, everybody, it's Kai. Thanks for taking the time to listen to the Corner Office podcast. This time, it is Rebecca Minkoff of the eponymous luxury fashion line and her brother Uri, the company's CEO and co-founder. So, yes, the conversation is going to be about fashion a bit, but also technology and the ways that Rebecca Minkoff is using it to attract shoppers and how you keep the peace when you're in business with your sibling. I caught up with them just as New York Fashion Week was starting.
We're expecting you. Won't you have a seat?
Ready to go to work?
Rebecca and Uri Minkoff, welcome to the program.
Thanks for having us.
It's great to be here.
I wonder whether, and you guys are the experts, but with Fashion Week upon us, don't you have better things to do than sit in a radio studio?
We have nothing better than to connect with our customer.
The whole goal this week is leading towards an event that's all about connectivity with our consumer. And so if we're going to reach you by radio or NPR, mm-hmm. then that's another way to be in touch with her.
Yeah, we actually were the ones that changed Fashion Week. So it used to be about showing a season ahead to prospective buyers and press. And what we celebrate Fashion Week today is actually for the consumer in the season that we're launching. So this is actually perfect timing for us.
You guys are jumping way down my list of questions, Uri, but let me ask you about it. Well, no, it's all right. You know, I'll go where the interview takes me. As you said, it used to be that, you know, there was a spring show and you didn't see those clothes till, you know, 6 months later, whatever. Now, though, and Uri, I guess this is what you're saying, the consumer has changed, right? We want it now.
Yeah, I mean, we're seeing it on social media instantly. We've had, you know, fast fashion has entered the supply chain. And so by the time 6 months later comes, you've seen it 10 times. It's been knocked off nine ways to Sunday. Yeah. And you're just kind of bored with it. So we said, you know what? We're going to show you something for the first time when it's ready and you can buy it. And we're going to surprise and delight you with what that is. And you better rush to go buy it right now because it might sell out.
Huh. Rebecca, does that change the way you design it all? Or is it the process is the same? Yeah.
So I usually like to start the season being inspired by something. I tend to usually pick a musician. The 60s and 70s are sort of an era to me that's always ripe for inspiration. So really, how do I take these key people such as Mick Jagger or Jane Birkin or Brigitte Bardot and say, you know, what was that essence that they had that's so irreplaceable? And how do I channel that into a modern woman and make her want to feel how they felt then, but in a modern way and enable her to feel fearless in how she chooses to present herself?
You two, Rebecca, have been at this for a while in a partnership. Give me the very quick origin story of how this company got started.
The 30-second version is...
Oh, take a minute. Go ahead.
Thank you. Had a very small clothing line, literally making most of the clothing myself with one other gentleman, decided on a whim to launch a handbag. Daily Candy, the only social media kind of its day, decided to write about the handbag, named it the Morning After Bag. Saw my first, you know, order sell out of a boutique, ran out of money, called my dad, said, hey, Dad, I think I'm finally feeling a taste of some success. Will you loan me the money to do the next round? And he said, no, but call your brother.
Really?
So that's how it happened.
And there I entered.
None of my business, but has it been smooth sibling sailing most of the time?
For the most part, you know, I think we've had a couple conversations early on with our father where he entered the conversation and said, now, children, I love you both very much. We're gonna solve this right now. But one of the things we started a couple of years ago is the idea of corporate couples counseling, the triple C.
Wow.
And so we actually sit down with someone, a specific person, once or twice a year. We usually spend about two full days doing an offsite together. And, you know, you either have your wins or losses over the next 6 months and you kind of do it all over again. So it kind of keeps us fresh and grounded and keeps the relationship in the good place.
You know, that's interesting, Uri, because you, you were an entrepreneur. You were a software guy, right?
Yep. Yeah, I had a software company for about 10 years. So I had no expertise in this space. But I think what's been fascinating is, and we're starting to see this more and more, is you took kind of Rebecca's fashion knowledge and my knowledge of the software space and all of the trends that were happening. And so it really gives us an interesting lens where I'm looking at something of how would you build this as a software project? She's looking at it from a fashion designer. And I think we've been able to combine those two to have a very unique approach in the world.
You two have been experimenting with retail technology too, right? I mean, you had this, you had a thing with eBay where you did a mirror that would let you see what your clothes would look like on it, right, Rebecca?
Yeah, I think the whole goal is, you know, you can get only so connected to your consumer if you're not there with her. So how do we really make that experience for our consumer what she needs and wants in a dressing room environment? So you don't want to get dressed and go find an associate if you need a new size. Or could you give a girl that wants to, you know, dress by occasion the lighting that mimics that? Or if I'm not there to handhold you and say, this is what you should wear, you know, this top with this bottom, you know, that I am there with you and that I'm recommending products to you. And then from our side, you know, the data that we can gather, it's all, don't worry, there's no cameras in the dressing room. But, you know, you can see it's dressing room abandonment. So online you have, you know, shopping cart abandonment. But now we can see,
wow,
is there a fit issue, or what is she putting together, or what combinations are working, and really dive into this rich area that was untapped before.
Yeah, I think for us, we looked at all the rich metrics that e-commerce gave.
Mm-hmm.
And realized that no one had applied those to the store. So we built in the end of 2014 what's been called the store of the future, where we took the best of analytic and data capture combined with experiential moments for the customer as we looked across what are the pain points in shopping and could we use technology to solve those. So we kind of found about 7 or 8 different pain points and came up with solutions to solve those, as well as giving us a lot of information of how did things move around the store? What combined with what went into a fitting room? Did it sell? Did it not? And I think that's also been able to influence Rebecca's design on the back end.
Do either one of you shop for pleasure anymore, or is it just all work?
I definitely shop for pleasure. I think there's something to be said, for two reasons. I, as a consumer, want to mirror, you know, things I might be going through for things that I could give our consumer.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's sometimes just a simple pleasure in buying something and not having any history. You know, you don't know how long it took to make it, or, you know, if the contents of the packaging were gotten correctly, or if the fabric really wasn't available. So I think there's just something in blind, I love it, I want it.
Huh.
Yeah, I mean, I love, especially on the e-commerce side of things, I think those are things that we're all trying to optimize. And also going to stores as well, just to understand what's the experience they're offering and what is that journey. So I think it's an integral part is to make sure that you stay relevant with how these journeys are being offered.
Who's the competition for you guys, Ori?
I mean, look, they're as a primary focus, you know, look, it's a lifestyle brand, but a predominant amount of our business is done in the handbag category, right? We offer handbags between, you know, $200 and $500. So it's really those other lifestyle brands that are kind of in that space, you know, that you'd see at, you know, at great retailers, you know, like a Nordstrom or a Neiman Marcus or a Saks Fifth Avenue. So it's really those other brands that you'd see there.
What's it like out there right now, Rebecca, for higher-end retail like yourselves? I mean, y'all did okay during the recession and the financial crisis. How are you doing now?
I think we're doing pretty good. I mean, I think what we're witnessing is, you know, something I talk about, you know, when the music industry went through its upheaval in 2008, 2009, I think, you know, that conversation is happening in fashion with retailers closing and, you know, some sales are in some stores are down. But I think for us, the key is the tighter the connection we have on our consumer and the more we make traditional brick and mortar retail about experiences, can she come away with something other than the product she bought?
Yeah, I think for us on the business side, since, you know, the nature of what we're talking about, you know, I think we're very focused on who we sell to, making sure that we're with the top tier partners in the space, making sure that, you know, we're selling as much full price as we can and really supporting those that do. We're also, what's great is, you know, we have the largest brand in fashion with a female designer who's a millennial. And what we're finding is that the customer is really responding to Rebecca as a lifestyle brand. So we have, you know, huge growth in footwear and in clothing and in other accessories categories. And so we're very optimistic about the future and Rebecca's continued relationship with the customer.
Rebecca, since your brother mentioned it probably half a dozen times in the last 45 seconds, you're it. You're the brand. How does that feel?
Well, I never like to look at it that way because I think one could get quite a big head. I think, yeah, you know, we still very much have an entrepreneurial spirit. And, you know, I call my goals a mirage where you get, you know, you get to that goal, yeah, that you never thought you'd hit. And you're like, oh, you know, keep going, new mm-hmm. goal. So I think it's always about How can we reach more consumers? How can I tighten the relationship with my customer? How can I inspire to be more fearless just in life? You know, I think there's lots of conversations that exist right now about, you know, women entrepreneurs and, you know, breaking the glass ceiling. And it never occurred to me when I started of I'm a woman designer, right? I was just a designer. But now I have a duty to inspire more women to reach higher and achieve their goals and really shatter that glass ceiling. So that's, you know, something else that keeps me grounded and excited.
Rebecca Minkoff of the Rebecca Minkoff Collection, her brother and co-founder Uri, thanks a lot.
Thank you so much.
That's it for today's episode of the Corner Office Podcast. If you like what you heard, leave us a review, will you, on Apple Podcasts, or share this episode with a friend. Subscribe. Do all that good stuff. Let us know if you like what we have been doing. This episode was produced by Bridget Bodner. Marketplace is produced by Nancy Fargali. Sitar Nieves is the executive producer. Deborah Clark is the senior vice president and general manager. I'm Kai Rizdal. We'll see you in a couple of weeks.